Amen. Thank you, Lord. We praise you and we glorify you. Lord, we thank you for moving out all this cold weather all over the country and move spring in here. So I think spring is supposed to be official on the 22nd. And Lord, I thank you that it's going to be nice and pretty. And all the daffodils will be out blooming. And all the trees will be blooming. And I praise you and thank you for it, Father. The weather up around 75 or 80. It sure would be nice, and I thank you for it. I thank you, Lord, that tomorrow is going to be a wonderful day too. In Jesus' name, Lord, I ask that you lead us and guide us tonight, and show us some revelations in this great and wonderful book that we've got that people all over the world are reading it right now. And we thank you for it, Father. In the name of Jesus, Lord, bless everybody here with spiritual eyes to see and spiritual ears to hear, Lord. The revelations out of this wonderful book in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Okay, has anybody else got a prayer request? There you are. Yeah, okay, you got your hand up. I thought you were waving at me. Go ahead. There it is.
I did. I just kind of forgot to put my camera on. I was sitting here doing other stuff, and I'm sorry. How rude. I wasn't showing my face. I do have a prayer request, a personal prayer request for me. I've been going through like some physical stuff, and I'm not under the curse, and that's still where I claim, but I just would like some prayer of agreement. And as I was thinking about how I was feeling and stuff, and just like, Lord, I know I'm not under the curse and I haven't received these symptoms. I have to go. I don't know what this is about, but I know it's a trial. And I was reading one of the books I'm reading right now, and I just heard it. I just heard in my head a phrase, and I'm like, should I accept that or not? And what it was is iron poor blood. Because I've been feeling really lethargic, really tired, no energy, doing simple things sometimes, even climbing up my stairs. It was like I didn't have a lot of energy, or I had, I was like breathing hard. And I'm like, I have a strong, healthy heart. I ain't receiving all this, and I don't know what this is, but I cast it all down. So I would just like prayer with y'all, from y'all, about this. I do not have iron poor blood. I have the blood of Jesus, and I know there's no iron deficiency there. Amen.
Amen. Well, in the name of Jesus, right now, I declare by his stripes that Julie is healed. And the life of Jesus is flowing throughout her body right now, cleansing it of all imperfections. And I praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Every disease, every sickness, every foul spirit that's trying to torment her with these things, be gone right now in the name of
Amen.
Jesus. And Father, I thank you
Amen.
that by his stripes she's healed, delivered, and made whole.
Praise the
And I
Lord.
praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for complete restoration of her body in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
I do have to confess too, I was tempted, and I was looking, I went online just to look to see what the symptoms were and all that, and what, if there were foods or whatever, if I need to change my diet and add more of anything with iron-rich foods or anything like that. Which, anyway, long, just I got tempted to buy vitamins, iron supplements, and I'm like, oh wow, it's like I haven't taken any supplements for anything in a long time, as I ain't starting now, but I was
Nope.
tempted to. Isn't that crazy?
No way. Well, that's the devil. That's
I
the
know.
devil.
Anyhow, thank you, Lord. I
You
don't need
know.
it. You're my salvation. I have your blood. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. I always remember when I get to thinking something like that that I think is wrong with me, I get to thinking about what John G. Lake said. You know, he said this. He said, what would you think to see Jesus walking into a drugstore to get him some medicine? Huh? Well, that's the same thing. It's the same thing. Go ahead, Ben. And that's just for y'all here. Now, I wouldn't say that.
Yeah, but I was tempted though. It's like, oh gosh, you literally, it's like you need to get this. You need to, take some supplements for, iron. And I'm like, oh no. That don't
Amen.
fix me.
Well, you're healed now. All right, Ben, go ahead, brother.
Right. Hey, y'all.
Hey.
Just thought I'd kind of keep you guys updated with what's going on with Megan and Zach and whatnot. They had a court case today, and it didn't go very well for, well, it went pretty good for Megan, I guess, in the grand scheme of separation. I don't know. So they've deemed it an emergency, because he hasn't been very nice to her. He's had to move back into the house because there's really no one wants to take him in because he's pushed everybody away. And so now he's sort of living in the basement, and basically there's someone there 24/7 right now. That's where Dad is right now, so I don't know if he's busy. Might be busy or he might be sleeping, I don't know. He's been great. He's been there for the past couple of days. And so basically right now they're having another sort of court case in like 2 weeks to see if she can get full ownership of the house so that Zach is not allowed back in the house because he really hasn't been a nice person to my sister, calling her words that shouldn't be uttered. Yeah, and so it's hard to love a person like that. I haven't said much to him, but just this whole situation has gone from worse to worse. It's beyond the addiction to the marijuana now. He's just behaving so evil. He's evil. And it's just, I've never seen Zach. I've known Zach my whole life, and I've never seen him like this, just evil. And so I'm gonna just start out with the prayer here. Lord, we all know that you're omnipotent. We all know that you're in control of all things. Lord Father God, I don't want whatever spirit that's in Zach around my sister or Finn. Lord, let whatever process needs to happen, but Father God, let this just be a huge lesson to the both of them that there are spirits involved with this. And Lord Father God, I rebuke any spirit that's trying to hook on to Finn or my sister through this process. Lord Father God, you're working something into Zach. And Lord Father God, there's that work and I can see it. But Lord Father God, let me and my dad continue on in the faith to hold our tongues, to not combat against Zach, but to just be there for Megan. Lord, we don't want to be there for the divorce, but we just want to be there in support for my sister and his daughter. Lord, give us strength to be sort of that crutch that she needs, that support that she needs, and continue to help us in that, Father, to love her the way that you'd love her, Father. And Lord, we don't really know what to say to Zach. We can't bring up scripture. But Lord Father God, let it our actions just show that what he's doing is wrong and that it just sinks into him, Father. I don't know what the process will be through this divorce, but I'm trusting in you, Lord. And we all know that you're in control of all things for the good of all. Thank you, Lord, for doing this. Thank you, Lord, for your omnipotence and your power and your love. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. I want to pray for Zach in the name of Jesus right now. I bind up this spirit that wants to spew out negative things toward Megan in the name of Jesus. I bind you from speaking any more directly to her in the name of Jesus. And I shield and I pray the shield of God around her to protect her from any words that have already been spoken to her. And I praise you and I thank you, Lord, that they are null and void in her mind. In Jesus' name, and I thank you, Father, that Zach's mouth is bound from speaking negative about Megan anymore. In Jesus' name, demon, you are bound. Now you do not speak anything negative toward Megan anymore while you're in that house. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for doing that for Megan and protecting her and just pulling out all negative thoughts that she's had. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Okay. Anyone else? Yeah, Julie.
Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for blessing Megan to be able to realize, and even that Andrew and Ben will help her to see or to speak, give him wisdom to speak to her, to separate Zach, the person that's really there, and the demons that are manifesting and speaking through him, because it's not really him. It's the enemy's using him as a vessel of dishonor right now, and to pray for him. And I pray, Lord, also that the things that Zach is going through, that he realizes he has no allies, and uses for your glory, to grant him repentance, to realize he's alienated everybody, and he has no friends, he has nobody he can count on, no one to turn to, just going to sympathize with him. And whatever becomes of the situation, if he's going to be essentially removed from the premises there, Lord, that that's for his good and for the good of Megan and Finn. And I thank you, Lord, that we know you're working there. You hate divorce, but at the same time, you want safety and protection on the weak and the vulnerable there, Father. So we thank you that you're the only one that can restore and heal and turn people's minds and hearts. So we're trusting you, Lord, to do a great and mighty thing here. And because you're the God of all flesh, there's nothing too difficult for you. And we're just going to believe, Lord, with our brothers and sisters for Zach's salvation. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Praise
Amen.
God.
What's crazy about the whole thing is Zach's side of the family, they're Christian, and well, I don't know if they're spirit-filled, but I do believe that his twin brother that lives in New Zealand, his twin brother, I believe him and his wife are spirit-filled because the Lord told him to tell his mom, like, Zach's into witchcraft and you gotta pray against it. And so, and well, they got witchcraft all over their house. They got dream catchers, they got tarot cards, they've got crystals. And yeah, it's a whole accumulation of all those types of spirits. So, keep that in your prayers as well. Yeah, keep that in your prayers as well.
Ben, are you able to, does Megan know what that stuff's about? And are you able to tell her and talk to her and get that stuff out of the house? Because
Yeah.
that's
I haven't brought it up with her because I know that it's a very touchy subject with her, Christianity just in general. I don't know. Maybe this is an avenue for finally to bring it up. I don't know. I'll pray on that.
Amen. Hey, Andrew. Obadiah, you look like a movie star with that new haircut, buddy. Oh, my goodness. All right, anyone else?
Thank you, Michael.
You're most welcome, buddy.
Missy did it.
Oh,
So
yeah.
thank you, Missy, for the haircut.
You're talking to
That
your
doesn't
mama. You
sound
ain't
good.
talking
Missy
to
did
her.
it.
Well, why not? He looks good. He looks good.
Like my fault. Like Missy did. I'm kidding. Glad you like it, bud.
Okay. Who anybody else got prayer request or would like to pray? Lord, I thank you for bringing down this Iranian government and replacing it with one that's a whole lot more conducive to what the people need and what they want. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father. And I thank you, Lord, that it's already been done. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Amen. I understand that the army is no more. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, Missy.
I just remember what Merle told me. I shared this on the morning prayer meeting, but not with you all. Merle's great nephew Derek just got sent over to the Middle East. He's in the Air Force. He doesn't know what position he has or what he does, but his mom told Merle today that he had to run for a bomb shelter. They had to go to a bomb shelter. So apparently he's on the ground. Merle's said, and I'm thinking he's a mechanic, works on
Are
the
you
planes or
saying he's
whatever.
in,
So
Iran?
not in Iran, but he's probably one of the military bases. In one of the other countries.
Okay.
So he had to they he had to go into a bomb shelter today. So we just Father, I just thank you and I praise you. He has the protection of Psalm 91, the soldier's psalm, Lord. And Lord, if he's not aware of that psalm, being a soldier's psalm, I ask you to make him aware of it, Lord, and that him and his comrades, his buddies, his Air Force, that they all pray it and believe it, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that he will come back home totally unscathed, healthy, whole, in Jesus' name. And they say when people come to Jesus quick when they're in a foxhole. Well, I've heard something like that. So I ask you and I praise you and I thank you, Lord, that you use this to draw Derek to you and bring him into the kingdom in a mighty, mighty way. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
But peace and rest in his mom and dad's heart and the rest of the family too, and his wife. Amen. Thank you,
Amen.
Lord.
Thank you, Father. All right, anyone else? I did hear that the army for Iran, they pretty much have done away with it. They have neutralized them for, I don't want to, neutralize the army. So praise God. Thank you, Lord, that this war is almost ended in the name of Jesus, Lord. And we thank you for saving all the people that you've already saved, Lord. I praise you and I thank you, Lord, that Christianity is going to have a revival over there. We declare and decree it, and we thank you for it, Father. And that's what I've been praying is that they would have a revival over there, Lord, and renew, and not only renew, but sweep people into the kingdom because of it. In the name of Jesus, amen. All right, anyone else? Go ahead, Anna.
Can I relate an off-topic funny story to you guys?
Sure.
So the boys know the Bible pretty well for their age, I think, but they don't have a lot of practical application. So I was like, I think the Lord just gave me this idea. I was like, you know what, boys? I'm gonna pretend that I am just some random person at the park, and I'm gonna ask you guys questions, and I want you guys to, minister to me. Like, how would you, give the gospel to someone if they didn't, like, pretend I'm someone who's never heard the gospel? Like, how would you answer my questions? And it didn't go real well. It was pretty hilarious, really. But this one question, there's like three that were hilarious, but I only remember one. I was like, okay, but I have sinned so bad that I don't know if God will forgive me. I don't even know if I can, if there's hope of salvation for me. Like, what would you guys say to that? And Elijah goes, well, I guess he goes, well, I guess you'll have to wait till you die and figure out where you go. I was like, Elisha, that's not giving anyone hope or God, the gospel, but it was
Where's
pretty
the
funny.
encouragement that? That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, leave it up to a young boy. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord, for the funny time. All right, anyone else? That's the best story I've heard in a long time. Go ahead, Missy. I
Well,
told
how
you
did
this
you
morning
answer
about
it,
that
Obi?
orange hand, didn't it? Go ahead.
Sorry, what was that, Missy? How did Obi answer that question? They were kind of going back and forth. Obi didn't answer because we just started laughing. That was the end of the question. Okay. That blew that to smithereens. Okay. So I was like, well, what do I need to do to be saved? And Elisha was like, believe. And Shoshana was like, you could read the Bible. That's good.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for these wonderful, wonderful boys and girls. All right, anyone else? Joe, how you doing, buddy?
I'm pretty pleased, thank you. I did have a wonderful day yesterday. A few little things happened to me, but I'm blessed. Thank you very much.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. All right. Has anybody got a testimony? Another one. All right. We'll get back into the real good news today. Yeah, Julie. Oh, yeah. Go ahead. Play that song. If that's what you were going to ask.
No,
Was that
Missy's
me?
got her hand up and I have my hand up.
Oh, okay. Go ahead, Missy.
I just wanted to give a little testimony. I said something before we got started, but I was not feeling good most of the day. And then just, I'd say about 20, 25 minutes before we got started, finally I started feeling better. And praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I'm not under the curse. None of us are under the curse. Jesus became a curse for us. We thank you, Lord, and we
Amen.
praise
Thank you, Lord.
you. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Okay, Julie.
I just have a short little testimony, but I think I mentioned here before, it's like there have been some two apartments in these two buildings that I'm in here, this last building, number 10 area where I'm at. So they've been doing renovations and upgrades and that kind of stuff. So they had to turn my water off. I got notification yesterday. They're going to have my water off from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. because they were replacing the water heater downstairs. And I'm like, man, that's 5 hours. That's right in the middle of the day. I'm thinking, how am I going to plan my day and do all this stuff? Well, anyhow, because it was so hot today, I planned on I yesterday I made some. So I wouldn't have to cook and wash dishes and all that kind of stuff. I just made some easy and had that for lunch today. But I was just praying, Lord, I just ask that they get it done, that they don't have any complications, they don't run into trouble, and that it's not going to be off all day. It's not going to be off for 5 hours. It's like I pray that they get it done in a reasonable amount of time. And so they did. It was before they went off at 10, just after maybe closer to 10:30, they turned it off. And I heard him went downstairs working. And then before 1 o'clock my time, I heard that they were running water downstairs in the apartment. So I'm like, yes, they got the water back on. So it was only about less than 3 hours that they had just the water turned off here. So I was really grateful when they had to replace the water heater over my the other place over here, because when they did the upgrades on that, they ran into complications and they had a leak downstairs. And so they had all kinds of work. And then when they had the water off most of the day that day for everybody in that building. And that's a real bummer when you don't have running water, as I know some people know. When you don't have water, tap water, and you can't do this and you can't do that. So I was really grateful for that. And then I heard some commotion, like something happened. I heard all this water pressure, like something, a valve or something. I'm like, no accidents. I don't know what happened, but there was water all up over outside. So I don't know what they did, but they got it, still got it fixed. And everything's installed, and I'm not going to have any more, hopefully, no more issues in this building with any more issues, Lord willing. And I know my apartment, they're not going to have to touch anything until after I move out. God's going to keep it all. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. I forgot. I've got a testimony similar to that. Michelle called me the other day and she said, "Daddy, the dadgum washing machine, it just overflowed and got water all in the bathroom." And I said, "Well, okay, have you gotten it out yet?" She said, "Yeah, we got it out." I said, "Well, let's pray for it." So we prayed for it, and I just commanded that washing machine to work like it's supposed to, like it was when it was new 25 years ago. And she called me back probably about an hour later, and she said, "Well, I washed a load of clothes in it, and it worked." I said, "Well, praise God." So just keep on believing. You see, that's a good testimony for her. Thank you, Lord. All right, Joe, go ahead, brother.
But when you call my name, I just remember, but I have to give a testimony. Yesterday, I did receive a text message of my TV license. It's in arrear. I have to pay it. And before I start anything phone call, I ask the Lord, "Lord, I give it to you, Lord, guide me through this. And I want a quick resolve of it." And I first phoned and I said to the lady, "I already canceled it last year. I don't have a TV anymore because of my religious reasons, and I don't accept TV in my house. So I did get rid of it. Yeah, but you have to pay and you have to listen all this." I says, "Already done it at the TV place itself, SABC. I already did everything. It's canceled my affidavit. Everything is just there." He says, "No, you have to pay it." I said, "I'll talk to her. Send me SMS." So I put it down. I put to another lady. She says, "No, it's already been canceled. My supervisor, I have to send you a confirmation letter that it's been canceled." I said, "Thank you very much." And I closed it. And I would put my phone off and I start studying. A bit later on this afternoon, I open my mail and I see the letter or the canceled letter. So I was almost shocked. The Lord answered my prayer so quickly about giving me that letter so I can just send them and everything is finished. So it was a bit of a surprise. It was so quick. I thought the Lord could have worked it for me, but not so quick. So praise the Lord for giving me that victory over it.
Amen.
Giving license. I'm finished with that. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Amen. Good testimony.
Michael, can I just
Yes.
ask something? Do I spoke slower now? Did you understand more, or
Yeah, you're starting to talk like a boy from Arkansas.
Okay, no, that's
No,
not what
yeah,
I'm asking.
yeah, if you slow down like you do then, I can understand it a whole lot better.
I just want to ask
Yes.
if I'm slowing down. Thank
Yeah.
you.
All right. Thank you. Go ahead, Anna.
I was just wondering, Joe might be the only one who knows, but has anyone heard anything from Paula? I tried to reach out to her a while back on Signal, and it shows like my message was undelivered. So maybe she's just not on there right now. I don't know. It looks like Julie might know.
Go ahead, Julie.
Paula's not on Signal. She was having issues with her phone and data and that kind of thing, so she had to stop using some of the apps. I know that she's using WhatsApp, and I've had very little conversation with her for about the last 7, 8 months. She's doing well. Last time I heard, there's news with going on in her life, but it's her news and I can't share it, but it's good. God's really done a really beautiful thing in her life for her, and I've encouraged her to share, because it's anyhow, but she's doing good. She's
That's
doing
good.
good, and
What's the name of
but
the
she's
lady
just not.
that's your, what's the name of the lady that's your friend down there? I forget.
Petra.
Petra, yeah.
Petra, our sister said Petra. Yeah, I guess she's doing really well too. And I tried to reach out to her on WhatsApp, and they're both very, very busy. They've got a lot of changes. God's done a lot of changes in both of their lives. I don't know exactly what's going on, Petra, but Paula just mentioned something that she had some really good news too. So it's like,
Okay, great.
anyway.
Awesome.
Yeah. But praise the Lord. Just keep them in your prayers, and hopefully
Amen.
they'll get in here and share what's going on at some point. But God's been really blessing them.
Are they still over in West Africa?
Paula is still, to the best of my knowledge, living where she was, has been living
Okay.
down there. I don't know if Petra is still in the same area or not. She was
Okay.
working in Cape Town, and then so I don't know. I don't know. I haven't. I don't know. They're still down there. That's all I know. Maybe Joe knows. Maybe you know more than I do, Joe.
No, it's about probably more than 8 months ago. I last had any of them. I've just last seen them on the outreach. So that's no, I haven't got anything on that now. Sorry about that.
Okay. All right. Well, Lord, we just lift them both up to you, and we thank you, Father, for your protection upon them. And Lord, we thank you for putting them in a good place to where they're getting some good teachings. And we thank you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Anna.
Okay, thank you for the little update, Julie. I'm really glad to hear she's doing well, but I did want to pray for her too. Lord, I just lift up Paula to you, Lord, and I just thank you so much for the good work that you've done, Lord. I had such a good heart to heart with her, and she was doing so well back then, and I'm just so glad that she's doing better now. And Lord, I just pray that you just completely restore to her all the years that have been stolen from her. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for just abundantly blessing her, Lord, that you would give into her bosom, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, and that
Amen.
she just receives an outpouring of heaven, Lord, and she just feels your favor all over her, Lord, that you bless the work of her hands. And Lord, I pray that you provide for her so abundantly that she can cut back on her work and won't have to be so busy, Lord, that she has lots of time for you, and that you make a way for her to get back on with us, Lord, and just give her all the energy she needs and the schedule that she needs to be able to do that. I know that's a lot more sacrifice than most of us have to make. Joe makes it, of course, and we appreciate that. And Lord, I pray that you just bless her to be able to do that, Lord. It will be like as if she missed no sleep. And Petra, too, Lord, I remember a couple years ago, she was so busy with her job. Lord, I pray that you bless her financially and cut back her hours and get her on here, too, and just bless the brethren, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. She was some kind of dental thing, wasn't she? Petra was. Okay. Anyone else? Yeah, Julie.
We play the song before we
Yeah,
get
let's hear
into
the song.
the study. Okay.
Yeah, that'd be great. What are you laughing about, Obie?
have plunged into the depths of your love, Lord. I have tasted of the sweetness of your wine. I have felt your arms around me in my darkest hour, telling me that you were with me all the time. I have climbed into your presence on the mountain. I have basked within the radiance of your smile. I have feasted at your table as you held me there, your reflection on my face, 'cause I'm your child. All I want is Jesus. Nothing satisfies me like you do.
I couldn't figure out how in the world somebody could play that big old thing. And I can't put your fingers down on it. You got to get out here and do all that mess. I just, I don't, just too complicated for my little mind. Yeah, it was, Joe. It was a beautiful song. Okay, go ahead, Anna, or Obie. Was she playing, Obie? Yeah, it's a gift. No doubt. All right. Okay, well, let's get started on the real good news. It's the news that'll help you. I think we're on page 12. at the top of the page where it says, there are also catch-all phrases. And the RGN, the book that sometimes just floats out of the sky. All right. Say amen if you got it. I
Amen.
can't hear you. No, that's good. That's good. Okay, there are also catch-all phrases such as Mark 11:24. And when you receive this revelation and start acting upon it, you have a miraculous life. And it's basically saying the same thing I've said so far, that salvation covers everything you need. Salvation has already been done, and all of it has been provided, as Jesus said. This is such a wonderful book. I like this because it tells you about all the promises. Mark 11:24. Therefore I say unto you, let me turn this light on. Well, somebody unplugged it. Okay. Therefore, I say unto you, all things whatsoever. That covers it all, doesn't it? Most of the church doesn't believe this verse. They just jump right over it and ignore it, which they've been taught to do. They don't believe the power of God is available to us today, and that's because they don't believe the gospel. This is a revelation of the gospel, the real good news. What happened to the people out in the wilderness that didn't believe that God was going to provide for them? They didn't get to go into the promised land, did they? Hello. All right, Mark 11:24. Therefore I say unto you, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe that ye have received them. Here it is again. By grace have ye been saved. Notice what he's saying. Believe that ye have received them. It's past tense. The numeric pattern proves that it's past tense in both the nestle, a land, and textus receptus say that the Greek word is received. Therefore, I say unto you, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe that you have received them and you shall have him. Note that you are supposed to believe you have received it in the physical realm. And why is it that we are to believe we have received? Because Ephesians 2 and 8 says, by grace have you been saved. And saved covers everything that we need through faith. We have a complete agreement here. So all things whatsoever have been provided because he tells you, no matter what it is, believe you received. And he tells you that because it was all provided at the cross. Turn around and look behind you. Most of you are looking in the wrong direction. You're looking forward. You're praying, provide this, provide that, meet this need, heal me, deliver me. God says, read the word. You'll find that I already did that. Don't waste a lot of time without faith. This is what faith is, Romans 4 and 16. For this cause, it is of faith that it may be according to grace. Verse 17, even God who calls the things that are not as though they were. Past tense, it's already been done. Everything about salvation has been completed. If you're waiting for God to do it, you have no faith and you're not claiming the promises. And that's why many people are not growing up in the Lord. Has anybody got any comments or any questions? Okay. If you really believe that you have received it all back there at the cross, what do you think you would say? What do you think you would do? What do you think your imagination would be like? This is a really good exercise. Practice meditating on what you would say and do if you have already received a healing, a deliverance, a provision, a protection, or so on. In other words, practice believing that it's already yours. How would you act? What would your mouth be saying? What would your thoughts be doing? Faith without works is dead. James chapter 2, verse 26. For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, even so faith apart from works is dead. Many people say, I believe I received. But everything else about them is totally backward to what they would be doing if they really believed. Their imagination is only imagining the things of this world, which is the curse, and everything negative, and yet they're trying to believe they have received. But a whole part of their being is warring with them because we are kind of a schizophrenic being. We're flesh and we're spirit. However, because we are born again, we have the power to cast down vain imaginations. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that is exalted against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. We cast down these vain imaginations and we begin to speak in agreement with the fact that we have received. We act as if we have received. We imagine we have received. We have been made in the image of our Father, and our imagination is very powerful when it's mixed with our faith to do miracles. Believing you have received should take over your whole being, from your mouth to your eyes to your feet. Everything that you do should be in agreement with the fact that you have already received. If you're trying to apprehend to go after or to buy salvation in any form, it's because you don't believe you have already received it. Believing we have received causes us to cease from doing our own works so that God may do His. God does not start His works until we cease from ours. Our works are what keep God from doing His. And when we let God do His works, it's called the rest, and we're to enter into His rest. And if you believe you have received, what do? You rest. The first thing you do is rest. You cease from struggling, striving after this thing that you need or want. You enter into this rest, which is our spiritual New Testament Sabbath of increase or of ceasing from our works on this holy day. And notice that everything we've talked about so far is past tense. It's all in the past, and this is the really good news, folks. This is the thing that takes away all of your efforts, unless you keep all your paycheck, in many cases, because it's not necessary. God is going to give it to you. He's going to just give you whatever the salvation is that you need. Another good example is found here in 1 Peter 2:24. Who his own self bare. There it is again. It's past tense. It's already accomplished, already finished. By grace have you been saved through faith. 1 Peter 2:24. Who his own self bare our sins in his body upon the tree, that we, having died unto sins, might live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. We've already seen sozo is used as a word that identifies healing. And here it's being used the same way. You were already healed at the cross, by whose stripes you were healed. You were sozoed. And if we believe that we were healed, then how are we going to react to the bad news that we hear around us? People walk by sight, and all the professional people, all the doctors, and hireling theologians walk by sight. They don't know how to get a hold on the power of God for salvation. They don't know the gospel, the good news, that all of this has already been accomplished by Christ. And they don't know that the gospel is the power of God to save you. They can't get a hold of that power because they walk by sight and don't walk by faith. And so they receive the bad news. They receive the bad report because they walk by physical sight and they don't receive the good news, which is walking by sight. I mean, by faith. There's a big difference, page 14, of the spies who went into the promised land. Only two came out with the good news, the good report, because they repeated what God said, and the rest of the spies came out with the bad news, the bad report, because of what they saw and what they felt and what they heard. Numbers 13, verse 1, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Send thou men, that they may spy out the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a prince among them. And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan. And they returned from spying out the land at the end of 40 days. And they told him and said, We came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey. Howbeit, the people that dwell in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. Amalek dwelleth in the land of the south, and the Hittite and the Jebusite and the Amorite dwell in the hill country. And the Canaanite dwelleth by the sea and along by the side of the Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, Well, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we are. Verse 32, And they brought up an evil report of the land, which they had spied out unto the children of Israel. 14 and 2, And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, who were of them that spied out the land, rent their clothes. And they spoke unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, The land which we passed through to spy it out is an exceeding good land. And if the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it unto us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only rebel not against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is removed from over them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. And the Lord spake unto Moses and said unto Aaron, saying, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. As I live, saith the Lord, surely as ye have spoken in mine ear, so will I do to you. 29. Your dead bodies shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, that have murmured against me. Surely you shall not come into the land concerning which I swear that I would make you dwell therein, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun. So the bad news people fell in the wilderness, but the good news people lived all the way through it and entered into the promised land in their bodies. That's very important. That's the power of the gospel that we're talking about here. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father who made us meet or able And we can thank the Father that He made us able through His gift of faith that He has given to us. 2 Thessalonians 3:2. For all have not faith, but He has given to each one of us, that is to God's elect, the measure of faith. Romans 12:3. For I say, through the grace that was given me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but also to think as to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to each man a measure of faith. So he made us able, Colossians 1:12, giving thanks unto the Father who made us able to meet, to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. The saints in light means the saints who walk in light. We're able to partake of everything that the saints who walk in light are capable of partaking. Colossians 1:13, who delivered, now it's past tense again, us out of the power of darkness. He's already delivered us, folks. It's already been accomplished. When the devil tells you he has you in bondage, just remember who you were already. Just remember you were already delivered, and you don't buy the lie. Accept the good news that sets free. Accept the good news, which is the power of God to save you. And if you do not agree with the good news, God cannot bring it to pass. People live under the curse all their life, thinking it's the normal Christian life, but the Lord delivered us. You're not under the power of the devil. The devil has deceived many people into believing that he has legal power over them. But he don't have no power, because Jesus told us in Matthew 28:18, all authority hath been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Verse 19, go ye therefore. So he sent out his disciples to exercise that same authority over the devil's kingdom. Colossians 1:13, who delivered us up out of the power of darkness, translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have our redemption, the forgiveness of our sins. We already have our redemption. I'm going to stop there. Has anybody got any questions or any comments? Everybody understand what he's saying? Okay, good deal. I know we've been through it a lot, but this is good to review it, find out who we are in Christ. What is redemption? Redemption is the Greek word apollotrosis, and it means a release on payment of a ransom. And a ransom is paid when a person is being held captive, when they're being kept in bondage. And the ransom sets them free. Folks, this has already been done. The price has been paid for us to be set free from bondage to the devil, set free from bondage to the flesh, set free from bondage to the curse. The price has already been paid by our Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot earn your redemption. Ephesians 2:8. For by grace have you been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, that no man should glory. So redemption, apollotrosis, our release from bondage and the forgiveness of our sins, has already been accomplished at the cross, praise be to God. But wait, there's something else. But there's something even greater that we should know about. 2 Corinthians 5:16. Wherefore, we henceforth know no man after the flesh. Even though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now we know him no more. Why is that? It's because after the flesh is like walking by sight. Now, instead, we know people by faith. We know ourselves by faith. We know the people for whom we have prayed by faith. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Wherefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature, and the old things are passed away. They're gone. Everything that we have known ourselves as in the flesh is gone. All that we have known about ourselves in the flesh is over. We know no man after the flesh anymore. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Wherefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things are passed away. Behold, they are become new. But all things are of God, who reconciled us to himself. So everything has become new because of what Jesus did at the cross. That was when he provided everything new for us. He provided our life, our deliverance, our healing, our provisions, our protection, and on and on and on. We should see ourselves in the light of what the Bible says about us, which is that all things are new. 2 Corinthians 5:18, but all things are of God who reconciled us. Now, reconciled there is the Greek word katalusso, lasso, and it means Jesus made an exchange at the cross. He took all of our curse and gave us all of his blessing. What an exchange, man. That's an awesome exchange there. He took all of our lack and gave us all of his provisions. Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. He has already given us all of our needs because he made an exchange at the cross. And what he took from us is everything we don't want and that we can't enter the kingdom of heaven with. Everything has already been accomplished. This is the good news. This is the real good news, that we don't have to strive and struggle and fight for what God has already given to us. 2 Corinthians 5:19, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not reckoning unto them their trespasses, and having committed unto us the word of reconciliation. The Lord is not reckoning to us, not attributing our trespasses to us, and he has given us the opportunity to share with other people that God has reconciled them to. When we give them this good news of reconciliation, and when they become believers, and what God has already accomplished, then they can start having miracles also. That's our ministry that the Lord has called us to. Praise be to God. Has anybody got any questions or any comments? These are some wonderful promises that he's given us. Everything that we need has already been put out there. Does anybody else want to read? Okay. Here's a, go ahead, Missy.
I'll read. Okay. We're at, here's another awesome revelation, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Here's another awesome revelation, Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I that live, for Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live in faith, the faith which is in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. You don't have to worry about your old man anymore. Many people talk so much about we have to walk in the crucified life. We have to be crucified. And we have to do this or that, but think more like this. You have already been crucified. The old man doesn't live anymore. Romans 6:11. Reckon also yourselves to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God in Christ Jesus. This is because it was accomplished at the cross. If you exercise faith in that, the Lord will bring your crucifixion to pass. If you try to do it yourself, you'll be trying to pick yourself up by the bootstraps, and you will constantly fail. You will fall short of the glory of God. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I that live, but Christ lives in me. Wow. Since you're dead and he lives, the reconciliation, the exchange was accomplished at the cross. You were crucified, and Christ is now given to you as the gift of God. Christ is manifesting in you, and you are entering into the rest by resting from your own works through your faith in this promise. Hebrews 4:3. For we who have believed do enter into that rest. You are entering into that rest. God is giving you the promise. The land of rest, the way, was also called the promised land because that's where promises are fulfilled. Now, he's given us the real good news here that we've been crucified with Christ and we don't live anymore. He lives in us and we're justified by faith in this promise. Galatians 2:16. Yet knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Christ Jesus, even we believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ. Justified means accounted righteous. When you believe these promises that are contrary to your senses, contrary to your eyes, contrary to the things around you, that is when God says you're righteous. Otherwise, you're seeking to be justified by the law. Do you know what that is? It's self-works. Galatians 2:16. Yet knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Christ Jesus, even we believed on Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law, because by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Galatians 3:6. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned unto him for righteousness. In other words, Abraham was justified. He believed God, and he was reckoned righteous. So when we believe the good news, we are reckoned righteous and we receive the benefit because we are righteous. We are righteous. It's the unearned favor of God, Galatians 3:11. Now that no man is justified by the law before God is evident, for the righteous shall live by faith, literally from faith. Our life is going to proceed from the gift of faith which God has given to us. It's not that many saints don't have faith, it's that they don't know how to exercise faith, or they don't know what faith is, or they don't know that faith is demanded, or they don't know that faith is important. But as you can see, faith is very important. Galatians 3:12. And the law is not of faith, but he that does the law, sorry, and he that does them shall live in them. In other words, if you're going to try to obtain righteousness by your own works, by doing the works of the law, then have at it. But God is not going to be in it. Galatians 3:13. Christ redeemed us. Redeemed is again past tense. It's the Greek word exagorze, whatever that is. And it means but to buy out or to purchase a slave with a mind to set him free. What are we slaves of? We're slaves of the curse, slaves of the devil, slaves of the flesh, and slaves of our circumstances. But the Lord redeemed us. He set us free from that. Do we believe it? Well, Well, if you do, you're counted righteous. And if you do, then that's the power of God unto salvation, and God will bring it to pass for you. Galatians 3:13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. The curse of the law is everything that happened contrary to man's well-being, because he was in rebellion against God's will. And you can read it in Deuteronomy 28. Galatians 3:13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree, that upon the Gentiles might come the blessing of Abraham in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Glory be to God. 1 Peter 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy begat us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Begat us again means born again. Being born again is much deeper and broader than just accepting Jesus as your Savior and receiving a new spirit, because he says, 1 Peter 1:5, unto salvation ready to be revealed in the last time, and 1 Peter 1:9, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. It's not the beginning of your faith that is salvation of your soul. The beginning of your faith is the salvation of your spirit. It's by faith that we are born again at the cross. First spirit, then soul, then body. 1 Peter 1:21. Who through him are believers in God that raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing, when the word seeing is used like this in the scriptures, it's talking about accepting something by faith. I always think of that and thinking about it in your imagination. Anyway, you have purified, that is past tense, because it's already done, your souls in your obedience to the truth unto unfeigned love of the brethren. Love one another from the heart fervently. Having been begotten, remember, he begat us again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides. So here's born again of soul. So those who walk in bearing the 30, 60, and 100-fold fruit of born again soul will also have a born again body. Notice your soul is purified through your obedience to the truth. How do you get obedience? You get obedience by giving faith to God, because then he gives you grace to obey. And it's all his works, not your works. Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, created as past tense, in Christ Jesus for good works, which God afore prepared that we should walk in them. If it's your works, it doesn't get you anywhere. Salvation is not by your works. Should I keep going?
Wants to go. Okay. Hebrews 10:10. By God's will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Sanctified means set apart. We have been set apart from sin, set apart from the curse, set apart unto God. It's Hebrews 12 and 14. The sanctification without which no man shall see the Lord. And we are manifesting our sanctification more and more as we walk in Him. Here we're told that this has been done at the cross. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 14. For by one offering he hath perfected, Hath is past tense. Forever them that are sanctified. He perfected you at the cross. And I know some people say perfection is not possible, but they don't know what the Bible says. Because we're not talking about our power, we're talking about God's power. He hath perfected us, and salvation in every form has already been accomplished. And that's why Jesus said in Mark 11:24, therefore I say unto you, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe that ye received them, and you shall have them. Wow. Think about that. It's an awesome promise. Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us, past tense, with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. He has already blessed us with everything in Christ, which is where heavenly places are. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ. And of course, it's our faith which justifies this, and our faith is what causes God to turn and empower us and to provide for us everything that we need. Ephesians 1:4, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blemish before him in love. He chose us to be holy and without blemish. And this is the way to be holy without blemish. We are to exercise faith for it, because he has already provided this for us. Look at 2 Peter 1:2. Grace to you and peace be multiplied in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Seeing, now we see this by faith through the eyes of the Spirit and not through the eyes of the flesh. Seeing that his divine power hath granted. You have to see that it's already been done. This is the good news of the gospel. Use your imagination. See that it has been done and confess that it has been done. And thank God that it has been done, because this is the gospel that saves. 2 Peter 1:3. Seeing that his divine power hath granted unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that called us by his own glory and virtue. You won't do this without knowledge, folks. You have to know what we're looking at right now, and this is knowledge. How do you know what to exercise faith in without knowledge? You have to know what has been given to you so that you know how to exercise faith. And it's so that you can know how to believe God. Can you do that? Can you practice seeing that God has already given to you everything that you need? God has already given to you everything you need. That's the real gospel. That's why it's called the good news. And the gospel in Romans 1:16 is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. Wow! This is why living by faith is so important. Everyone that you need from God has already been provided. You don't have to beg him. Jesus said in Matthew 6:7, and in praying, use not vain repetitions as the Gentiles do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. Yeah, Julie.
I was just thinking the other day when I was reading in the Word. I don't remember exactly where I was reading at, but I was just wondering, what do people, and because it's been a while since I've been in it, what do they teach them in the churches what the gospel is?
That Jesus died on the cross, and he raised up to the right hand of the Father, interceding on our behalf. That's it.
That's about it. Okay. It's been a while, so I just
Somebody
wasn't
else
sure how.
may have a little more, but that's what I understand.
They just generalize it that Jesus died for you to take away your sins and blah, blah, blah. And
They
he's
say
raised from
that
the dead.
they say that nobody is perfect. Nobody can be perfect. They don't even talk about the fruit of Christ. Don't even talk about the fruit of Christ.
They just miss out so much that's in the Bible by, what do they even think the promises when they read those, what do they mean to them? And the things we've just been reading here, it's like how we can connect the scriptures to what Jesus did at the cross and what he said we can ask and pray for because he already finished it. That he can say, you can ask me anything and I'll do it. How many times did he say, if you ask me anything, I'll do it. If you ask anything in my name, I'll do it for you. Ask, seek, knock, It's like, what do they believe that for? Or do they believe that? And it's just, not frustrating, but I know I was there and I didn't understand what the gospel was. And I was just curious, if we were to tell people today, explain to me what you believe the gospel is. And then, maybe ask them, it's like, so what did Jesus say when he said, you can ask me anything and I'll do it? Or what did he say when he taught his disciples how to pray? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We know. And these things, and he says all these promises. What do you believe the promises are for then? And when do we receive those? It's just, it's like all these things, we've been given such a gift to have ears to hear and eyes to see and to believe and have faith and these teachings. And I didn't get all this when I first came. It was probably took years for me to really get all this into my head and my heart to understand it. And so anyhow, maybe that can help us, like when we pray, how we can pray for people, that they understand what the gospel is, and that God will give us opportunities even to share what the gospel really is, even in a simple form, simple little, references or and even question, help them to, give them questions to think about things. And of course, I know we have to get past religious spirits and all these things that they think they know it all. And I ran across that the other day. They knew it all. I couldn't even tell them something. It's like, yeah, I know. Okay, yeah, I know. You don't.
Well, what did I just get through saying?
I know. And I was just like, I just gotta, okay, yeah, you can't break through to something like that. It's a religious spirit and pride and self-righteousness and all those kind of things. But anyhow, I was just wondering how maybe what you guys thought too, what people think the gospel is.
Well, I can tell you this, there are some denominations w that wish that Paul's epistles were out of the Bible. That's the meat of the Bible, of the New Testament. Go ahead, Missy.
Well, what I was going to say is that about the fruit, they don't talk about the fruit. Well, the fruit that they do talk about, they think it's only people that you bring into the kingdom through preaching the gospel. And then 99, 44, 100% of the time, that may be an exaggeration, it's not the real gospel either. It's not the true gospel. It's just what I understand that most Christians say it is ask Jesus into your heart and your sins will be forgiven, but
I didn't even mean
I've
the
never heard
Bible.
anybody I have never heard them, I haven't heard most say, that he took away your sins. You don't have to live in your sins. You don't have to live in sin. But anyway, yeah, that's my take on that.
Well, it's the they go to the extent of what the pastor knows, and that's it. Nobody, they don't even promote reading the Word of God. They want you to take their little booklet and go home and study that, which doesn't give them anything but lies. Yeah, Joe, go ahead, brother.
What I experience mostly people around here, well, I'm speaking to us, they read the Bible as a whole. They don't see there's a new covenant and there was an old covenant. Now, what they're thinking, the old covenant, it's not been done away. So, in other words, everything is still the same. That's why we're not reading is the way what Jesus has done at the cross. What's the purpose of a new covenant? What's the purpose of internal covenant? That's the main thing I think understand people around here. They don't know. They just read the Bible as a whole and Christ died for your sin and that's it, so you can go on like you like. And that's not the reason why Jesus did that. It's because he overrides the old covenant, the law. He done away with that. We fulfill that. And then we have to walk in this now. That's why I understand. Yeah. Thank you.
And they want to fight you over Israel. It is God's holy people. No, you're God's holy people. They've got to come to Christ before they are. They don't understand that because they've been taught wrong. But Lord, I thank you that you're going to shake the world right out from under them. And they're going to come in and we're going to have a revival because of it, because they're going to see miracle. People are going to be out there, and there's going to be a bunch of people out there in front of them that need healing. You're just going to raise your hand and be healed in the name of Jesus, just like Jesus. Just like Jesus. And they're going to all be healed. Revival start out right then. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, anybody else? That's why I like to encourage people to read your Bible. Read your Bible. Read what it says. Don't depend on somebody else for your salvation. I think that you can't just let somebody tell you something what the Bible says. You have to know. Because your salvation depends upon it. They'll tell you right quick that you can't you I've had them tell me in a meeting one time. God told me, he said, you can't sin from here. You can't get up without sinning from here to the floor. I mean, to the door. So I just got up out of my seat and walked over to the door, came back and sat down. I said, did you see me sin? He said, well, what was going through your mind? I said, well, that's not your business what that was, but. But I was just trying to prove a point. You can do what the Bible says because Christ in you is going to help you. He's going to help you get over these things that's hindered your walk with Him. And we hadn't even talked about bearing fruit of Christ in your life. Missy brought it up. That's something they're going to have to do, 30, 60, and 100-fold, at the very least 30. Well, what does that mean, the fruit of Christ? Because we all know what it is. It's looking like, acting like, and doing what Jesus did. Amen. All right, Julie.
Well, I would think too that, when you get saved, that God starts making changes in your life, that you want to start changing in your life, that you're convicted by things when you read the Bible. And I guess I'm thinking too about, the hypocrites and things like, Jesus was sitting there eating with Matthew, with Levi, and he had all these sinners and tax collectors around him and stuff. And he said, well, you don't go to a doctor if you're healthy, right? He came to save the sinners, so, but it's like, so he didn't come to save the self-righteous, and the prideful and those who are religious so thank you, Lord, for delivering people from that spirit that they think they know it all and they believe everything their pastor says over and above your word. And that there's changes in somebody's life when they get saved. And when they get born again, there's even more change to their life when they get that the power of the Holy Spirit in them, and they start learning how they hate they hate sinning, but they may not know how to overcome that yet. But then God, if they're really humble to the word, I mean, some, God's in control of all that. We're all here because of his grace, and he'll do that for others too. He'll bring them out, he'll show them the way out, and he'll bring them to people who have the truth. And thank you, Lord, for doing that. You're the Savior.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Bring conviction to people's hearts of sin. And how am I supposed to get any better than this? And if they're really looking for you, Lord, they're going to find you, because your word says that. If you seek me with all your heart, you'll find me. Thank you, Lord, for opening those opportunities for your true people, your elect, who are hungry and really want to know you, and that you're working in their hearts and their lives even now, because you're hearing our prayers for them. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Anyone else? 2 Peter 1:3. Seeing that his divine power had granted unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that called us by his own glory and virtue. And David says, you won't do this without knowledge, folks. You have to know what we're looking at right now. This is knowledge. How do you know what to exercise faith in without knowledge? You have to know what has been given to you so that you know how to exercise faith. And it's so that you can know how to believe God. It's so that you can know how to believe God. Can you do that? Can you practice seeing that God has already given to you everything you need? God has already given to you everything you need. That's the real gospel, and that's why it's called the good news. And the gospel, Romans 1:16, is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. Wow. This is why living by faith is so important. Everything that you need from God has already been provided. You don't have to beg him. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 7, and in praying, use not vain repetitions as the Gentiles do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not therefore like unto them, for your Father knows what things you have need of before you ask him. Many people think a simple prayer is not enough. Boy, I know. Man, I've been in meetings sometimes where we'll be praying for something and it seems like a tag team match. You know what I'm saying? Hey, Brandy, good to have you, brother. I mean, one will be praying and the other to get through, and the other they'll start, and then after they get through, they go right back to the next one, and then it's just back and forth. And I'm not saying that's wrong, but if you got faith, it don't take but just as. What did Jesus always say? Rise and be healed. Just be healed, all of you out there. Be healed. Woo! He didn't have to go into a long, drawn-out prayer. It's okay. I mean, I'm not saying it's not. It is. It's all right. But when you can do it with few words, just do it that way. I said, be healed in the name of Jesus. Be delivered in the name of Jesus. Okay. Where I let God has already given to you everything you need. That's the real gospel. That's why it's called the good news. And the gospel, Romans 1:16, is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. Wow. This is why living by faith is so important. Everything that you need from God's already been provided. You don't have to beg him. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 7, and in praying, use not vain repetitions as the Gentiles do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not therefore like unto them, for your Father knows what things you have need of before you ask him. Many people think a simple prayer is not enough. Well, if you have faith, it is. Now, there is the prayer of importunity. When you don't have any faith, you pray and you pray and you pray until God gives you the faith. And then you can receive. But there is the prayer of faith, which Romans 4 and 17 calls the things that are not as though they were. Hebrews 11 and 1, King James Version. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And that's what faith is. You believe you have received. And God says, for that, you are righteous. He wants to see people who have faith. He was discouraged with the people who did not have any faith in the wilderness. Numbers 14 and 11, and the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people despise me? And how long will they not believe in me? For all the signs which I have wrought among them. Verse 12, I will smite them with the pestilence and disinherit them, and will make of thee a nation greater and mightier than they. God wanted to wipe them out and make Moses and other people. 2 Peter 1 and 3. Seeing that his divine power has granted unto us all things. I like what David always says when he comes to that one there. What does all leave out? Nothing. That pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that called us by his own glory and virtue, whereby he hath granted unto us his precious and exceeding great promises, that through these you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that's in the world by lust. These divine promises are for the purpose of giving us the divine nature of God and causing us to escape the corrupt old nature of the old man. And you are a righteous person. So God's going to do it for you. Why are you righteous? You're righteous because you believe what the word says. Do you think you have any problems? John 12 and 31. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. Some people might say Jesus made a mistake there because the devil's still around. I know it. I talked to him this morning. No, the devil was cast out, and his power was broken at the cross. And that's why Jesus said, now. It's because it was happening right there. The devil was conquered already. So don't worry, folks. Your enemies have been destroyed by the cross. John 16, 33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me, you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Now maybe you can understand that he actually did overcome the whole world. Everything in our life that is contrary to godliness, Jesus has already taken care of it. He conquered the devil, the world, the flesh, everything. And Jesus said him when he was on the cross, John 19, 30, it is finished. Glory be to God, folks, it's finished. He conquered everything. He provided all of our needs supplied, like a little baby, soteria. And it has been taken care of. Now you know why Paul said, my God shall supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. How many of you know that God's got some riches? Ooh, glory to God. He's got more than the Rockefellers, I'm telling you. He has already provided it. He's already given it to you. It's yours, so he's not going to withhold it from you. All you have to do is to go to him by faith, believing you have received. Whoo, glory to God. That's so awesome. Just to understand that all we have to do is just believe what we pray is going to happen. I think that's where we get messed up sometimes. If God didn't do it within the first 5 minutes of our prayer, we just tend to say, I don't guess he's going to do it tonight. You have to just keep on and on and on and on and on. Keep on believing. Keep on confessing. Yes, thank you, Lord, I'm healed. Yes, thank you, Lord, I'm delivered of this thing. Yes, Lord, I thank you for the provisions that you've already told me you're going to give me. He said, you're going to provide everything I need. Well, I need. So I thank you, Father, that it's on the way. Praise be to God. Might be under my mattress tomorrow morning. Or maybe right before I go to bed, I'm going to check my bank. See, you got to do the word. That's what we talk about all the time, is doing the word. And that's the way you do it. Anybody else got something they'd like to comment on? Yeah, it could be. I had, just because of that, Judy, I had just the other day, the Lord, I looked at my billfold, that thing was almost empty. I'm telling you. And it was either the next day or the following day after that, I looked in and I said, where'd that come from? I said, well, it had to be in you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And it was, I don't remember how much it was, but it was a considerable amount. It was enough to get me through. Praise God. That's how God wants us to do it. Just keep on believing. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Tomorrow morning, I'm going to look under my mattress. I'm going to have $8,116 in there. Glory to God. Or whatever. Yeah, Joe, go ahead, brother.
I was thinking about earlier was Julie was speaking about when Jesus was calling Levi or Matthew for dinner, and there's all the tax collectors and everything sitting there. What Jesus told them, that's not what they want to hear. He was invited for dinner. That's not what they wanted to hear. That's boldness speaking what the Lord, what Father says to him. Just says, that's not what they want to hear. They want to hear nice stories, but he says, no. This is what you're not doing. This is not you doing. That's boldness. That's speaking the truth.
We need to be doing what we're doing tonight, and that is telling people what the good word says, what it really says. I said, look here. Look at Isaiah 53, 4, 5, and 6. Look at 2 Peter 2:24, 1 Peter 2:24. Same thing, and tell them that says that you have already been healed because Jesus took your sickness on him so that you wouldn't have to. Spells it out. And all we have to do is believe. How many of you got sick folk in your family? Maybe your siblings or something like that. We all probably have somebody that's suffering. And you try to talk to them about God. You could come over and talk with them, but I don't want to be preached to. I had one of them tell me that here a while back. I said, are you sick? You don't want to go there. But Lord, just open up their eyes to see. Give them a shaking that they'll understand. That the word of God is where we run to. We don't run to man. We run to God. We don't run to the drugstore to get us some vitamins or whatever it is, or some lotion or whatever. So I'm not trying to pick on anybody here, but I've done the same thing. I think I'll just go down there and get me some of this here. I bet that'll help me. No. I don't want to I don't want to hurt God's feelings. Yeah, Debbie.
Well, a few weeks ago, I have a testimony about what you just said. My nails were splitting so bad and everything, and I wouldn't get this. I get what about this hair, skin, and nails stuff, vitamins, gummies. And I didn't even finish the whole bottle, and they were everything. And it wasn't as bad. They got worse. Everything got worse. My nails were just breaking off and splitting, and I thought, and they're looking just terrible. All these lines through my nails. I was like, what? And this stuff isn't even working. So God didn't let it work. So I just thought, just a little something for a little bit of help, but no help, no help there. So
Oh my. Yeah,
was
I can
amazing.
imagine. You know what I did, Debbie, one time. This has been quite some time ago. I stopped at Walmart, got me some lotion for my arms, and my skin, because it was drying out. And it wasn't, gosh. Just a little bit after that, I heard on YouTube that lotion on your skin is not good for you because it clogs up your pores and all this stuff. So I had to throw the thing away. I said, "Thank you, Jesus." That's the way he does, isn't it, Debbie? He tells me, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Glory to God.
Maybe I should throw in my lotions. I'm getting convicted
What?
now, Michael. Maybe I should throw in my lotions. I'm getting convicted now.
Well, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do
No,
that. I
just
was just
kidding.
telling you about my.
I understand.
Yeah, Missy.
I'd like to give my 2 cents about that. I think stuff that you can buy in the store that is like these big brand names, lotions and stuff like that, I can see that that is probably true. But I think if you just use something natural, like coconut oil
What about
shea
some
butter,
lard?
natural stuff that doesn't have all that added stuff in it, That doesn't
Well, it
clog your
could be.
pores. I don't believe
Could
that
be.
for a minute. But anyway, so
But this,
I
hey,
just I
listen,
just
this was on Missy, this was on YouTube. It had to have been true. It
Yeah,
just
well.
had to be.
Anyway, I just had to put that in there because we got to be careful of and I'm not saying you're being legalistic, Michael, but we got to be careful of being legalistic about stuff like that. You know what I mean? Like I said, I,
Well, it's where your faith is. It's where your faith
right. It
is.
is where your faith is. But
But I still like what John Lake says. I still like that phrase there. What would you do if you saw Jesus going into a drugstore to get him some medicine? I'm just saying. Go ahead, Julie.
My 2 cents in too. I think there's a lot of stuff on the market that they add a lot of things that shouldn't go on your skin. But like with Missy said, there is natural oils and butters that they make that are all natural. They don't clog your pores. They're actually healthy for you. But I think it says somewhere in the Bible about oil quite frequently about anointing their, when you fast, anoint your head, is that literal? Well, I think we're supposed to take care of our bodies. And out here where I live in the desert, my body needs some kind of moisturizer. So I do use a natural oil and several oils actually, for so water's bad out here. It's very hard. And I can have scaly skin. Sorry. And I do use stuff on my skin because it is and even I think it's in ester, How the it's a type and shadow, I know, but that's what they use, that the anointing oils for the women, for 6 months and that kind of thing. I mean, it's to beautify. There's natural beautification oils that don't do that. So, you wash your hair, you use stuff, you buy what you buy. Do you wash your hair and condition your hair? And supposed to take care of our bodies, hands and nails and that kind of stuff. And I know what we're not under the curse, and one of these days we're gonna be walking with the that cellular DNA
Divine
restoration. I'm
health.
believing that divine health, exactly.
Yeah,
But
absolutely.
there's a lot of garbage out there that they put in our water, and I attributed a lot of it to that where I live. And so, folks, I want to take care of my body, and I don't want to be legalistic about it either. I had went across that bridge, but it's like, so there's so much stuff in the stuff, chemicals that they put in everything. Anyway,
Yeah.
Lord
We'll
help us
find
all
about
with a
that,
clean
won't we?
conscience. Yeah, just use our common sense, clean conscience about stuff that we need, because I've gone to, there's been times where my skin was itching and I'm like, Lord, please take away this itch, And it's like, okay, well, I've got something in the bathroom. I can go put this on here so I can get some sleep.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. I didn't mean that in a legalistic way. I meant it. I just as an example. I wonder how God looks at it. That's what I always look at. I wonder how God looks at it. And so when you do that, it puts it in another light. Yeah, I don't doubt that, Barbara. I don't doubt that. How much poison do we eat when we eat prepared foods? Yeah, none, 'cause I bless it, glory to God. I can eat them McNuggets all day long if I want to. I'm just kidding. I hadn't had a McNugget, and I can't tell you when. Yeah. Okay. All right, anyone
Can I
else? We
share
got just,
something?
yeah, Debbie, go ahead.
A little gross. I saw this on YouTube the other day, and it was showing this big machine. I mean, they were very serious about what they were talking about, that they're putting dead people in food, in
Oh,
not
yeah.
making, spreading, getting it into food. Not like you're eating a dead person, total whole, but I couldn't believe what I was hearing. I'm sorry, that sounds gross, but it sounded so true. I'm like, oh my gosh, what's this world coming to?
Well, I think we'll be surprised at what all they are putting in our food.
I know,
Dead
but this.
flesh is not, that's just a little portion of it.
Oh
That's
my.
sickening.
It is when you think about it, but thank God we can bless our food. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah,
And it's
we
blessed.
always bless it. Yeah. Amen. I buy groceries, I bless every sight.
Oh, man.
Then I give them the money. Amen. All right,
Then pray in
Amen.
front of the
Yeah.
camera. Walmart cameras.
You know what I do, Debbie? A lot of times I've done this more than once. I go up there and they'll say $48.36. I said, I'll give them $20. I said, can you just take this? And they'll look at me like I'm serious, you know? I said, no, I'd have to put it in. I'd have to put it in there out of my account. I said, well, okay, can you take $5 off of it? Then they'll start laughing. See you, Brandy. Oh, he's already gone. Yeah, I did that today over at Hugo. The lady knows me. She just laughs at me. But anyway, thank you, Lord, for blessing all of our stuff that we bring into our homes to eat, to put on us, whatever, makeup. Not that I put any makeup on. I don't know. I don't like that lipstick that I had the last time. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Glory be to God. All right. Has anybody got a prayer request before we sign off tonight?
I do.
Yeah, Debbie.
One quick one. I want to pray for Victory. Her kids are just disobedient. She's understanding. It's not that she's not handling it right either. But she gets very, very. I mean, she really loses it. She really loses it with them, and screaming. And she was telling me today, I just don't like it. I get mean. I say mean things. And she said, I was seeing actually seeing stars a couple of days ago. I thought I was having a stroke. I was saying, Victory, this is terrible. You can't do this. You can't do it. So we talked. I told her about what to do. I said, you've got to let. She was telling me the things that she tells me again and again what to do with, like these coming with your boots and your wet clothes and wet things from the snow and stuff. And they just won't obey and do it. And so she screams and yells. And so we talk about some things to do and how to fix this and just to well, you said we'll just talk about it. Go to the room and don't let them, don't give in to them coming back down. Let them know that that's what they're at for the night. Just, I'm talking about I'm trying to tell her see understand about laying down something and sticking to it. And she was, yeah, I'm gonna do that, So I'm concerned with for her because it's really pretty bad. My grandkids, hers anyway, her kids, it's pretty
Does
bad. And
she ever paddle them?
She says she no, but she'll hit at them. Of her slap on their
With
back,
her
and
hand?
but she won't. Yeah, but she won't. Yeah, she doesn't. She doesn't think that what's the rod is that. She thinks the rod of authority means just your authority, not a physical rod or something to use. So she will, but that's out of anger. She'll. It's not even discipline. She's angry, and so she'll slap at him or something. But proper discipline is what she needs to do. So I just want to pray for her that God will
Well,
just really work in her.
she needs to follow Anna around, doesn't she?
I've mentioned Anna.
She's got, I don't know, half a dozen paddles laying around the house.
Yeah, I've told her, remember what I did. We used
Yeah.
always a paddle. So I just
Yeah.
want to pray for Victory because I'm, Lord, just lift Victory up to you, Lord. And we just agree together, Lord, that she will keep taking this to you, Father God, and asking for you to help her, Lord. To discipline them and not let herself get, as she said she was going to really try this, not let herself get mad and upset, but just lay down the disciplinary rule, what's going to have to what they have to do it and obey and be consistent with this God until things will change. And Lord, help her, Lord, to be taking this to you, Lord, and asking her you for help, Lord. I just pray, God, that you would give her the understanding, Lord, and victory in this, Lord God, and I just pray that she will receive, that she will see results, Lord. So just help her, Lord, and keep her, Lord. And I pray you too will help her to learn, turn to you for healing of her body, of this headaches and the terrible tension headaches she's got because of all this, Lord God, and that she would get off all this ibuprofen, Lord, and things, God. I pray that you will help her to heed what I mentioned to her about that, Lord God. And I just thank you that you would just work her. Work faith in her, Father God. Just faith to believe your word as we're reading, Lord. I pray in Jesus' name, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Lord, thank you for letting her be. That's what I've seen about Anna. She's consistent. It don't make any difference what's going on around her. If they mess up, they're getting the paddling. Come here. Come here. Come here. And if they do it again, the same thing, it's a little bit harder every time. Boy, she's good with that paddle too. Glory to God.
I'm
Go
pretty
ahead,
much
Barbara.
like that.
Do what, Debbie?
I'm sorry. I was pretty much like that myself when they were littler. As I get older, different, but when they were littler, I learned it from another woman, another sister in the fellowship way back in Illinois. I thought, I'm gonna do what she does. Just, no matter. Just and finally one day, Hadassah said, "Why do you keep spanking me?"
Because
I
you
told her
keep
why.
messing up.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Barbara.
I was going to say, Debbie, I had that problem many years ago of always yelling at my kids, and I always used to feel bad, and I'd go and cry out to the Lord. Lord, I don't want to be this way. Why do I keep losing my temper at them? And they're just whatever. I mean, willful or not willful, I was just angry at them. And I guess it was shown to me, the Lord showed me, I think, I guess, because I got delivered from a anger demon. It was a demon because I, even though I didn't want to do it, I kept doing it. And so I got rid of that demon, and things got a little bit better over time. And I'm sure it's learned behavior too, because my father was a army sergeant, and I learned listening to all that yelling too. But I only only the Lord can deliver us, and I used to cry out to the Lord too over that.
Amen.
Amen.
So
Go
I pray
ahead,
that
Missy.
she'll cry out to God for it. Over it. Sorry.
Amen. We're out of time, but go ahead.
I used to be that way too, and any area that I've struggled with, sin, like my flesh or anger or whatever, I would always confess I'm dead and sin alive unto God and crucified with Christ. But one thing that really helped me was anytime I would get like even the slightest bit testy or angry or just improper attitude, on the angry side or whatever, sarcastic or whatever it may be, with my husband and Alex, I would tell them I'm sorry. And that humbling myself and telling them that I was sorry really, I think just really delivered me. Plus I had a spirit of anger and hot tempered, whatever passed down to me from my great grandmother, from my grandmother, to my mom, to me. And so it was a spirit of anger, but even though I believe that I was delivered from that, it's your flesh, and that's how I overcame it. And even now, once in a while, I might get a little testy or something. I have to apologize. So I think for me, apologizing is humbling myself and just helps me overcome, has help, really helped me overcome that.
Amen.
So that's maybe some tips you can share with her.
Amen. Well, all right, we're out of time. God bless you. We'll see you later. Next time, Lord willing.